welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Saturday, February 26th, and we had 9 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Charlotte, the Hornets defeated the Raptors, 125-93. In Indiana, the Thunder defeated the Pacers in overtime, 129-125. In Orlando, the Magic beat the Rockets, 119-111. In Washington, the Spurs beat the Wizards in double overtime, 157-153. In New York, the Knicks were defeated by the Heat, 115-100. In Minnesota, in James Harden's debut, the 76ers crushed the Timberwolves, 133-102. In Phoenix, the Suns were defeated by the Pelicans, 117-102. In Utah, the Jazz beat the Mavericks, 114-109. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers just edged past the Lakers, 105-102. So we will break down all 9 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Charlotte, where the Hornets defeated the Raptors, 125-93. The Hornets were led by Terry Rozier. He had 23 points. And they also got 23 off the bench from Kelly Oubre and a double-double off the bench from Montrezl Harrell, the recent acquisition, 20 points and 10 rebounds. Whereas the Raptors were led by the rookie Scotty Barnes, he had a big night, 28 points on 13 of 18 shooting. And they also got 12 points from Gary Trent Jr. He was the only other player to score in double digits. Several of the Raptors' key contributors were just ice cold in this game. Pascal Siakam was 3 of 13 from the field. Fred VanVleet was 3 of 12, and Kim Birch, who was in the starting lineup as OG Anunoby is out, he was 0 of 3 from the field, so really poor shooting from the Raptors sunk them in this game, and they were just outplayed from the jump. They were outscored in the first quarter 28-19, and then they expanded upon that lead even further in the second. The Hornets, they outscored the Raptors 42-28, so it was already a huge advantage for Charlotte at the half, a 23-point lead, and then believe it or not, they actually expanded upon that lead quite significantly in the third quarter as well. They were totally dominant, and the Raptors were totally stagnant there in the third. They only managed to score 14 points, whereas the Hornets scored 27, so it was a huge advantage heading into the fourth quarter, nearly a 40-point game. So it was obviously total garbage time, a comfortable win for the Hornets, and unsurprisingly, they shot the ball very well, 55% from the field and 37% from three, and they totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded the Raptors 52-36. So the Raptors, on the other hand, just shot 44% from the field and 26% from three. They had 17 turnovers as well. Now, to be fair, the Hornets had 18 turnovers, so it was very sloppy ball handling by both teams, but the incredible shooting disparity and rebounding advantage for the Hornets led to a huge blowout. And so with this win, they now improved to 30-31. So that is good for ninth in the Eastern Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets in eighth, and they're 1 game up on the Atlanta Hawks in 10th. And the Hornets are 2-8 only in their last 10 games. They've got a negative 0.4 point differential, which is exactly the same as the Nets, and it's actually worse than the Hawks below them. And as for the Raptors, this loss takes them to 32-26. So they are in 7th right now in the East. They are 2 games up on the Nets in 8th, and they are 1.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in 6th. And the Raptors are plus 1.2 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings, and they're 7-3 still in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Raptors, as I mentioned, were led by the rookie Scotty Barnes. He was the sole bright spot on this team. He was 13 of 18 from the field for 28 points. That is incredible. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals as well. They also got 12 points from Gary Trent Jr., but this is where the inefficiency started. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Just 8 points for Fred VanVleet. As I mentioned, he was 3 of 12 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 4 assists. He did have 2 blocks, but he was negative 40 in the plus-minus. Then they also got 8 points from Pascal Siakam. He was 3 of 13 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and just 1 point for Kim Birch inserted into the starting lineup in place of OG Anunoby. In just 18 minutes, he was 0 of 3 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And it'll be really interesting to see how that Anunoby injury affects the Raptors going forwards, because he's been an integral part of their starting unit throughout the majority of this season. So hopefully for their sake, his absence doesn't affect their status too much, because they are teetering there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference in seventh, and they could very easily fall down in the bottom of the play-in game range just like that. But anyways, as for the bench for the Raptors, they were led by Precious Achiuwa. In 24 minutes, the backup big man had 9 points on 3 of 8 shooting. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block, although he was just 3 of 7 from the free throw line. They also got 8 points from the other backup big man, Chris Boucher. He was much more efficient, 4 of 5 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. They also got 6 points from Yuta Watanabe in just 5 minutes. It was garbage time when he was in the game. 5 points for Thad Young, the recent acquisition from the San Antonio Spurs. In 21 minutes, he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. They also got 5 points from Malachi Flynn. He had 5 assists and 2 rebounds. And 3 points for the Ukrainian Svi Mykhailiuk. And as for the Hornets, they were led by Terry Rozier and Kelly Oubre Jr., both of whom had 23 points. So starting off with Rozier in the starting lineup, he was incredibly plus 46 in the plus minus in 32 minutes only. He was 10 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and 0 turnovers. Incredible game for Rozier. They also got 13 points from P.J. Washington and LaMelo Ball. So Ball, the sophomore, was not quite as productive as Rozier. First of all, he was 5 of 16 from the field, and second of all, he had 6 turnovers. But additionally, he did have 2 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. Then they got 13 as well from P.J. Washington. As I said, he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. They also got a double-double from Miles Bridges, 11 points, 10 rebounds, along with 7 assists and a block. He was 5 of 11 from the field. And then Mason Plumlee rounding out the starting lineup. He was perfect from the field, 4 of 4, although he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 8 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for Charlotte, they got 23 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. in 32 minutes. He was incredible as well. 8 of 14 from the field, including 5 3-pointers. And he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. And then the double-double for Montrezl Harrell, 20 points and 10 rebounds on very efficient 9 of 12 shooting. So some incredible performances for the Hornets across the board. He had 3 assists also. And then they got 8 points from Cody Martin in 12 minutes and 6 points from JT Thor, the rookie. All right, next up we can move on to Indiana, where the Pacers were just edged by the Oklahoma City Thunder in overtime, 129-125. Coming into this game, the Pacers were 8-point favorites, and I thought that seemed a little bit high. I was tempted to go with one of our best bets on this one to take the Thunder +8, but I was a little bit scared off because I can never really put too much faith in the Thunder. But that being said, they were incredible in this game, and they were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 36 points. He was 13 of 24 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Fantastic production throughout the box score from SGA. And then they also got 22 points from the rookie Trey Mann and a double-double from Darius Bazley, 14 and 10. Whereas the Pacers were led by Buddy Hield, their new addition from the Sacramento Kings. In the starting lineup, he had 29 points, including 5 3-pointers. And they also got a double-double from their other recent acquisition from the Kings, Tyrese Halliburton. He had a double-double, 14 points and 11 assists. And they also got 17 from the rookie Isaiah Jackson and a double-double from O'Shea Brissett, 10 points and 15 rebounds. So obviously some inflated numbers across the board for both teams, considering the extra time at the end. Although it was actually a low-scoring overtime. It was just 6-2 in the end for OKC, so really disappointing output offensively for the Pacers, just managing 2 points in overtime. That is disappointing, to be sure. To get to overtime in the first place, there was a big 3-pointer from Buddy Hield. The Pacers were actually down by 4, and he cut that deficit to just 1 with a 27-foot 3-pointer off of a Lance Stephenson assist. And then ultimately, they were able to push it to overtime, but then they disappointingly only managed 2 points in the extra 5 minutes. And they didn't help themselves with the ball handling. They had 15 turnovers in the end, and that was really the only differentiating factor. Both teams were 49% from the field. Both teams were around 36% from three, but the Thunder only had 11 turnovers, so that was really the key difference in this game. The Pacers were led by Tyrese Halliburton in that regard. He had 4 turnovers, and then Buddy Hield and Lance Stephenson both chipped in with 3. So a disappointing loss here for the Pacers that they weren't able to capitalize on the second-to-last team in the Western Conference. This loss takes them to 20-41, so they still are in 13th in the Eastern Conference. They've been in that spot for, like, months now. They are 5 games up on the Pistons in 14th, and they're 4.5 games behind the Knicks in 12th. And the Pacers are negative 2.6 in the point differential, which is about where they should be. They are just 2-8 in their last 10 games. And as for the Thunder, this win takes them to 19-41. So like I said, still in 14th in the Western Conference. They are 3.5 games up on the Rockets in last, and they are 2.5 games behind the Kings in 13th. And the Thunder are negative 6.7 in the point differential, which is second last in the West. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Thunder were led, as I mentioned, by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was incredible in this game. 36 points in 38 minutes. He was 13 of 24 from the field, 9 of 12 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Fantastic production, although he also did have 7 turnovers. As for the other starters, they got 22 points from the rookie, Trey Mann. He has been a revelation this season for the Thunder. He started the season off slowly, but he's really coming on strong. He had 22 points on 8 of 17 shooting, including 3 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Then they got a double-double from Darius Bazley, 14 points and 10 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was only 6 of 16 from the field, but he also had 3 steals. And then they also got a double-double from Isaiah Roby, 10 points and 11 rebounds with 4 assists. And the other rookie, Aaron Wiggins, rounding out the starting lineup, had 8 points in 31 minutes. And off the bench for the Thunder, they got 14 points from Théo Maledon, the sophomore. He was 5 of 10 from the field in 18 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. They also got 13 points from the other sophomore, Alexei Pokuševski. This is his second really solid game in a row. He had 13 points on 6 of 9 shooting, 1 rebound, 2 assists. They got 8 points and 5 rebounds from Lindy Waters, 4 points for Olivier Saar, and Vit Krejci did not score in 18 minutes. And as for the Pacers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Buddy Hield, 29 points in 43 minutes. He was 12 of 21 from the field, including 5 three-pointers. He had 7 rebounds and 5 assists with 1 steal and 1 block. It was a double-double for Tyrese Haliburton, 14 points and 11 assists on a very efficient 6 of 10 shooting. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 15 points for Malcolm Brogdon. Good to see him back in the starting lineup alongside Tyrese Haliburton. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then they got another double-double from O'Shea Brissett, 10 points and 15 rebounds in 37 minutes. He was 5 of 17 from the field, though. 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And 17 points for the rookie Isaiah Jackson, rounding out the starting lineup. In 23 minutes, he was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 5 blocks versus his former teammate Olivier Saar for the University of Kentucky. Jackson was really active in this game. And off the bench for the Pacers, they got 14 points from Lance Stephenson, the veteran. In 28 minutes, he was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And I failed to mention this previously, but he had an insane three-pointer that sent the game to overtime. They were down by 3. Buddy Hield put up a 3 with about 10 seconds to go. It misses, bounces up. They are able to secure the rebound. The ball pings around, finds its way out in the corner to Lance Stephenson. He puts up a 3 with like seconds remaining, and he nails it. It was not quite a buzzer beater, but still a clutch bucket from Lance Stephenson. And they also got 16 points from Jalen Smith, another new addition. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 of 10 from the field. 7 points for Terry Taylor in 19 minutes, and 3 points for Dwayne Washington Jr. All right, next up we can move on to Orlando, where the Magic defeated the Rockets, the bottom two teams in their respective conferences. The Magic came out on top this time, 119-111, and they were led by Chuma Okeke. Off the bench, the power forward was really solid, 26 points on 9 of 13 shooting, including 5 three-pointers. And they also got 24-12 from Wendell Carter in the starting lineup, and 14 points from Cole Anthony. Whereas the Rockets were led by the rookie, Jalen Green. He had 23 points in the starting lineup, including 4 three-pointers. And they also got 21-11 from Christian Wood and 15 points from the veteran, Eric Gordon. But this was a close one down the stretch. It was actually the Rockets who were leading early on in this game. They had outscored the Magic 33-27 in the first quarter. Orlando just could not buy a bucket for the first like half of the first quarter. At one point, with 7 minutes to go, they were down 17-3, but they did eventually rally and cut the deficit quite significantly by the end of the first. It was a 6-point lead, and then they were actually pretty dominant in the second quarter. They outscored the Rockets 31-18, so they not only tied the game up, but they actually took the lead heading into halftime. It was a 7-point game for the Magic, so just like that, they turned their fortunes heading into the second half, and then it was a modest lead for the Magic throughout the majority of the second half. It was about a 5-point game throughout much of the third and fourth quarters. The Rockets rallied at the end of the third and tied the game up, and then it was back and forth for a couple of minutes. But eventually, at the end of the fourth quarter, the Magic were able to pull away once again. They were able to build up a double-digit lead. Franz Wagner had a layup with 1:53 to go that put the Magic up by 9. It was 113-104 at that point. And then Wendell Carter hit a couple of free throws and extended the lead to 11. So a good victory here for the Magic against the other 15th place team in the league, and a dispiriting loss, obviously, for the Rockets. And really, they should have taken advantage of the Magic's sloppy ball handling in this game. They had 19 turnovers, whereas the Rockets, who lead the league in turnovers, they had 13, but they just shot the ball too inefficiently. They were 46% from the field and 29% from three, whereas the Magic were 50% from the field and 36% from three, and they also dominated on the boards 54-41. So a really dominant performance, like I said, from the Magic. And with this win, they now improve to 14-47. So that is good for last, still in the East, but they're just one game behind the Detroit Pistons now in 14th. And they've actually got a superior point differential than the Pistons. They are at -8.3, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Rockets, this loss takes them to 15-44. So they are firmly at the bottom of the Western Conference. They are 3.5 games behind the Thunder in 14th, and they are -9.7 point differential. It's clearly worst in the West. They're on an 8-game losing streak. They're just 1-9 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Rockets were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie, Jalen Green, the second pick in the draft. He had 23 points in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field and 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, so really solid efficiency. And he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. Nice production for Green. And then they also got a double-double from Christian Wood, 21 points and 11 rebounds. In 28 minutes, he was 8 of 15 from the field, including 2 three-pointers. But shockingly, he was 3 of 13 from the free throw line. Let me repeat that. Christian Wood was 3 of 13 from the free throw line. That is abysmal, atrocious, shocking. He did have 11 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 turnovers. They also got 13 points from Jayshon Tate, the sophomore. In 28 minutes, he was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He did foul out of this game. Eric Gordon had 15 points in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. And 6 points for Kevin Porter Jr. in 21 minutes. He was pretty bad, 2 of 10 from the field. 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And off the bench for Houston, they got 13 points from Garrison Matthews. His stellar shooting season continues. He was 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds and 2 steals. 10 points for Dennis Schroeder, their new addition from the Boston Celtics. He was 4 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 3 rebounds and 6 assists. He was -19 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team worst. Then they also got 6 points from the rookie Alperen Şengün in 18 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then 4 points for Kenyon Martin Jr. in 21 minutes. The other rookie, Josh Christopher, went 0 of 4 from the field in 12 minutes. And as for the Magic, they were led, as I mentioned, by Chuma Okeke off the bench. The power forward in 32 minutes was 9 of 13 from the field and 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. Really solid efficiency. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And he was plus 27, which was a team high. So his inconsistency is a bit frustrating, but if he could get consistent playing time and take advantage of that playing time with some efficient shooting, he can be a really solid fantasy player, but he's just a bit too inconsistent, like I said. As for the starters, they were led by Wendell Carter. He had 24 points and 12 rebounds in 35 minutes. He was incredibly efficient, 9 of 11 from the field, and he had 2 assists as well. They got 14 points from Cole Anthony, the sophomore point guard. In 31 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. They got 13 points from Franz Wagner. He was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. 6 points for Mo Bamba. In 25 minutes, he was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 7 rebounds. And 3 points for Jalen Suggs. In just 15 minutes, he was 1 of 5 from the field. And off the bench for Orlando, they got 12 points from Gary Harris, the veteran shooting guard. He had 3 three-pointers. 10 points for Terrence Ross, the other veteran scorer. He was 5 of 12 from the field. They also got 11 points from RJ Hampton. In 23 minutes, he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. And Admiral Schofield saw the court briefly but did not score. All right, next up we can move on to Washington, where the Wizards were just edged by the San Antonio Spurs in double overtime, 157-153, an incredible offensive output from both teams, and the Spurs were led by Keldon Johnson in a fantastic game for several starters for the Spurs, but Johnson led the way with 32 points on 10 of 20 shooting. He had 5 3-pointers. And they also got big double-double from Jakob Poeltl, 28 points and 11 rebounds, and the huge triple-double from DeJounte Murray, 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 14 assists. Incredible numbers for the Spurs, and the Wizards weren't much worse. 36 points for Kyle Kuzma in the starting lineup. He had 3 threes, and they got 24 from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 22 from Hall Neto, and they got 17 points from Daniel Gafford. All of these guys really took advantage of that extra time at the end of this game for some really gaudy stat lines, but ultimately it was the Spurs who were able to hold on and get this win in the end. It was really close. Obviously, there was some exciting moments for both teams down the stretch and then in both of the overtimes. It was a rousing comeback, actually, in the fourth quarter for the Wizards to even get to overtime because they were down by 8 with just a couple of minutes to go. It was 128-120 with 2 minutes on the clock after a couple of free throws from Jakob Poeltl. But then the Wizards rallied. The Spurs offense kind of stagnated down the stretch, and they were able to tie the game up eventually off of a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope layup with just 19 seconds to go. So it was a resilient effort by the Wizards to force the first overtime. And then in the first overtime, Hall Neto was the one who made a clutch layup with 18 seconds to go to tie the game up once again, this time 145 all. But right before that, DeJounte Murray had a clutch three-pointer with 25 seconds left. So this one was just back and forth throughout. And then in the end of the second overtime, DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl hit back-to-back buckets to give the Spurs a 5-point lead. But then Hall Neto came back with a three-pointer again. He was really clutch in this game. And then DeJounte Murray ultimately hit a couple of free throws that gave the Spurs the lead and helped them secure this win. So a really exciting one, obviously. And the Spurs got it in the end, and they shot the ball worse than the Wizards, actually. They were both 54% from the field, but the Spurs were 31% from three, whereas the Wiz were 42% from three. But the Spurs totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded the Wizards 50-39, and that was really clutch. They got a lot of second-chance opportunities because of all those rebounds. Jakob Poeltl alone had 6 offensive rebounds. And so a really good win here for the Spurs, a resilient win. Greg Popovich is closing in on that all-time coaching win record. He's now one away from Lenny Wilkins in second. And then assuming he surpasses Wilkins, he'll just be a couple away from Don Nelson in first. So based on the number of games left and the way the Spurs are playing right now, it seems almost certain that they will, in fact, reach that mark, and Greg Popovich will become the all-time leader in wins for coaches. Really incredible stuff. And so with this victory, the Spurs now improve to 24-36. So they are currently in 11th in the Western Conference. They are one game behind the Portland Trailblazers in 10th, and they're just ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans on a tiebreaker. They are both at 24-36. They're 2.5 games up on the Kings in 13th. And the Spurs still have that impressive point differential. It is plus 0.3, which is actually better than the three teams ahead of them. It's 8th best in the West, and they're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Wizards, this loss takes them to 27-32. So they're in 11th right now in the Eastern Conference, one game behind the Hawks in 10th, and 3.5 games up on the Knicks in 12th. And the Wizards are negative 2.8 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. Technically, it's 13th worst in the East. And they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Spurs were led, as I mentioned, by Keldon Johnson. An incredible performance, 32 points in 46 minutes. He was 10 of 20 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. His 32 points is a career high for him. And he was perfect, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He's a very efficient player, and that was on full display in this game. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists as well, and he was plus 16 in the plus minus, which was actually by far the team high. So really incredible stuff for the Olympian, Keldon Johnson. Then they also got a huge triple-double from DeJounte Murray, 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 14 assists. Now, he didn't have any steals or blocks, and he had 6 turnovers, but he was very efficient, 12 of 20 from the field, and including 1 3-pointer, and he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So really good stuff from Murray, especially those clutch free throws at the end of the second overtime to help secure the victory for the Spurs. Then they also got a huge double-double from Jakob Poeltl, 28 points and 11 rebounds in 41 minutes. He was also insanely efficient, 12 of 15 from the field, although he was only 4 of 8 from the free throw line, but still, he had 8 assists and 2 blocks and only 1 turnover. Fantastic production from those three, Johnson, Poeltl, and Murray. And then they also got 12 points from the other two starters. The sophomore, Devin Vassell, was 4 of 11 from the field. He just had 1 3-pointer for 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And then 12 points for Doug McDermott. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 0 threes. He was 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists. And off the bench for San Antonio, they got 23 points from Lonnie Walker in 35 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. Then they got 6 points from Keita Bates-Giop in 14 minutes, 6 points as well for the sophomore point guard Trey Jones, 3 points for their recent acquisition Thomas Satoransky, and 4 points for Zach Collins. And as for the Washington Wizards, they were led by Kyle Kuzma. He tied his season high with 36 points in 46 minutes. He was 13 of 27 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 3-pointers, 2 steals, and 1 block. Then they also got 24 from KCP in 43 minutes. He had 4 threes, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 2 steals. 22 for Raul Neto, the point guard. He is in the starting lineup, and he was fantastic in this game. He was clutch down the stretch, and he was 9 of 15 from the field overall, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal. 17 points for Daniel Gafford. He was very efficient, 8 of 9 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. And 12 points for the rookie, Corey Kispert. In 32 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. And off the bench for the Wizards, they got 14 points from the sophomore Denny Avdia. In 37 minutes, he was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. Then they got 10 points from Ish Smith. He was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 5 assists. They also got 8 points from Rui Hachimura. In 20 minutes, he was 3 of 5 from the field. 6 points for Thomas Bryant, the backup big man. 4 for Anthony Gill. And Cassius Winston saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, and next up we can move on to New York, where the Knicks were easily defeated by the Miami Heat 115-100. But the Knicks were led by RJ Barrett. He had an incredible performance, 46 points, obviously his career high. He was 13 of 22 from the field, 6 of 11 from beyond the arc, and 14 of 22 from the free throw line. Just an incredible offensive performance from Barrett, but unfortunately it was not enough for the Knicks. He didn't get a ton of help, just 13 points from Evan Fournier and 12 from Alec Burks. Julius Randle was ice cold in this game, 2 of 15 from the field. Whereas the Heat were led by Tyler Hero off the bench, he has all but secured that Sixth Man of the Year award. He had 25 points in this game in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field. And then they also got 19 points in the starting lineup from Kyle Lowry, a big double-double from Bam Adebayo, 16 and 16, and Jimmy Butler had 23. Now that this team is at full strength, they are really one of the teams to beat right now in the entire league. And ultimately, they dominated this game despite the incredible performance from RJ Barrett. They were leading pretty significantly at one point midway through the second quarter. It was a double-digit lead. It was 51-40 after a three-pointer from PJ Tucker. And then their lead waxed and waned a little bit throughout the rest of regulation. It was down to 2 at, near the end of the third quarter after a 20-footer from Evan Fournier. It was 82-84 at that point, but the Heat were able to quickly reestablish a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and cruise to an easy victory in the end. And the Knicks overall didn't do themselves any favors. They had 18 turnovers, and they shot just 40% from the field, whereas the Heat were 47% from the field, and they only had 10 turnovers. So a good clean win here for the Heat in Madison Square Garden. And with this victory, they now improve to 39-21. So that is good for first place in the Eastern Conference. They are just ahead of the Bulls on the tiebreaker. Both of those teams are at 39-21, and they're both 2.5 games up on the third-place team, the Philadelphia 76ers. And the Heat are plus 4.6 in the point differential, which is second best in the conference behind just the Boston Celtics. They're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 6-4 in their last 10. And as for the Knicks, this loss takes them to 25-35, so they're down in 12th right now in the East. They are 2.5 games behind the Wizards in 11th and 4.5 games up on the Indiana Pacers in 13th. And the Knicks are on a 4-game losing streak, and they're just 2-8 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Heat were led, as I mentioned, by Tyler Hero, 25 points in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field, 4 3-pointers, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. And he was plus 26 in the plus-minus. That was a team high. Fantastic offensive output from Tyler Hero. And as for the starters, they got really solid contributions from Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Kyle Lowry. So Butler had 23 in 34 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. 16 and 16 for Bam Adebayo. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 4 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. And then 19 points for Kyle Lowry. He was 4 of 11 from the field, but he was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And he had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. And then P.J. Tucker chipped in with 8 points. He was actually perfect, 3 of 3 from the field, including 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And Duncan Robinson rounding out the starting lineup, he was brutal in this game. He did not score at all. He was 0 of 5 from the field. Off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they also got 8 points from Caleb Martin in 16 minutes. 7 points for Omer Yurtseven, the backup big man. He was 3 of 4 from the field, as was Martin. And then 6 points for Gabe Vincent. He had 4 assists and 2 steals. And 3 points for Max Strus. And as for the Knicks, they were obviously led by RJ Barrett with this career-high 46 points in 38 minutes. He was 13 of 22 from the field. He had 6 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was incredibly 14 of 22 from the free-throw line. They also got 13 points from Evan Fournier, but he was not very efficient, 5 of 16 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. They got 12 points from Alec Burks in 34 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists. 11 points for Julius Randle, but he was ice cold in this game, 2 of 15 from the field, including 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, though, and he had 8 rebounds and 8 assists. And then Mitchell Robinson rounding out the starting lineup did not score at all. He was just 0 of 1 from the field in 29 minutes, and he had 9 rebounds. And off the bench for the Knicks, they got 8 points from Cam Reddish, their new addition from the Atlanta Hawks. He had 2 three-pointers in 16 minutes, and they got 7 points from Emmanuel Quickley, the sophomore. He was 3 of 7 from the field in 17 minutes. And then they just got 3 points from the slam dunk champion Obi Toppin in 13 minutes, the sophomore big man. He was negative 21 in the plus-minus. That was a team low, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for New York. All right, moving along to Minnesota, where the Timberwolves were absolutely demolished by the Philadelphia 76ers, 133-102. James Harden made his debut for Philadelphia, and it was a fantastic debut. He had 27 points in the starting lineup, including 12 assists and 8 rebounds. And he was knocking down incredible shots as well. He was 7 of 12 from the field overall and 5 of 7 from 3, including multiple step-back three-pointers. It was just a fantastic debut for James Harden. And the 76ers were actually led by Joel Embiid. He had 34 points and 10 rebounds. And then they also got 28 from Tyrese Maxey. He was 12 of 16 from the field. So anybody that was concerned with Maxey's production after James Harden's arrival was quickly assuaged by this performance. Incredible stuff from those big three, Embiid, Maxey, and Harden, combining for 89 points. That is incredible. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. He had 25 points, and they got 21 from D'Angelo Russell. Another somewhat disappointing game from Anthony Edwards. He had just 15 points on 5 of 13 shooting. And this was just a total blowout from pretty much the jump. It was a modest lead throughout most of the first half. It was a 9-point game in favor of the 76ers at the end of the first quarter. It was 34-25, and then they maintained about a 5-10-point lead throughout most of the second quarter, until there was a couple of minutes to go in the first half when they just went on a tear and they actually extended that lead to over double digits. It was a 16-point advantage at halftime. It was 65-49. And then they kept the pressure on in the second and third quarters. They actually outscored Minnesota in every single quarter of this game. And the fourth quarter, they outscored the Timberwolves 41-28. So a total blowout in the end for the 76ers, with James Harden making his debut. And unsurprisingly, they shot the ball very efficiently, 51% from the field, 48% from three, thanks in large part to Harden going 5 of 7 from beyond the arc, and Joel Embiid going 3 of 5. And the Timberwolves, on the other hand, were 41% from the field, 23% from three. So it was a combination of factors. The 76ers just could not miss, and the Timberwolves were ice cold. So an easy win in the end for the 76ers, and they now improve to 36-23. So that is good for third in the Eastern Conference. They are 2.5 games behind the Bulls and Heat in first and second, and they're half a game up on the Bucks in fourth. And the 76ers are plus 2.0 right now in the point differential. They're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Timberwolves, this loss takes them to 32-29. They're in seventh still in the Western Conference. They're three games behind the Denver Nuggets in sixth, and they're just 1.5 games up on the Clippers in eighth. The Wolves are plus 1.0 in the point differential, which is in fact seventh best in the West. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the 76ers were led by the big three of Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey, all of whom had at least 27 points. So Embiid was the leader. He had 34 in 31 minutes only. He was incredibly efficient. He was a bit overshadowed by James Harden's debut, but he was fantastic against his rival Karl-Anthony Towns. He was 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and 11 of 13 from the free throw line. MVP caliber numbers still here for Joel Embiid. He had 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then they also got 28 from Tyrese Maxey. He was incredibly efficient, 12 of 16 from the field, including 2 threes. He also had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. And then James Harden with the incredible debut, 27 points with 12 assists. He had 8 rebounds. He was 7 of 12 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, and 8 of 9 from the free throw line. You really couldn't have asked for a better first game for his 76ers tenure than this one from Harden. And then they also got 11 points from Matisse Thybulle in the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. And Tobias Harris, rounding out the starting lineup, didn't actually do a whole lot in 30 minutes. He was 2 of 9 from the field. He had just 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 6 points from Danny Green in 21 minutes. He was 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. They got 3 points from Paul Millsap, another recent acquisition from the Brooklyn Nets. He came over in the James Harden trade, and he was decent in this game, although he was 0 of 2 from the field. And then they also got 8 points from Isaiah Joe, 5 points for Furkan Korkmaz, 3 from George Niang, and 2 from Shake Milton. And as for the Timberwolves, they were led, as I mentioned, by Karl-Anthony Towns. He was actually pretty solid in this game, 25 points in 34 minutes. He was 8 of 19 from the field, 2 three-pointers, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, although he was negative 32 in the plus-minus, which was the team low. They also got 21 points from D'Angelo Russell. He was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 15 points for Anthony Edwards in 38 minutes. Like I said, he was 5 of 13 from the field, 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And just 2 points for the other two starters, Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley. They went a combined 1 of 8 from the field. Vanderbilt was 1 of 5 from the field in 17 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist. And Beverley was 0 of 3 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 10 points from Jaden McDaniels. He's 5 of 11 from the field in 23 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 8 points for Torian Prince in 23 minutes. 7 for Naz Reid, the backup big man. 5 for Jalen Noel. And 3 points for Jordan McLaughlin. 2 for Josh Okogie. And 2 for Jake Layman. All right, next up, we can move on to Phoenix, where the Suns were defeated by the New Orleans Pelicans, 117-102. The CP3-less Phoenix Suns finally snapping their 8-game winning streak, but they were led once again by Devin Booker. He had 30 points, and they also got 20 from DeAndre Ayton and 15 from Cameron Johnson in the starting lineup. Whereas the Pelicans were led by CJ McCollum, their new addition, he had 32 points, and he was very efficient, 11 of 18 from the field. And then they also got a big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 18 points and 17 rebounds, and 28 points from Brandon Ingram. He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line. So a really good win here for the Pelicans against the league-leading Phoenix Suns, and they just took over this game in the second half. They outscored the Suns 42-31 in the third quarter, and that was really the difference maker in this one. It was really close throughout this game otherwise. The Pelicans did take the lead at the end of the first quarter, but the Suns quickly erased that deficit, and then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of the second. And then in the fourth quarter, it was really close as well. It was just a 1-point advantage for the Pelicans in the fourth. So it was really that third quarter that was the difference maker, like I said. And ultimately, the Pelicans didn't even shoot the ball that efficiently. They were basically the same as the Suns from the field, and they were worse from beyond the arc. They were just 27% from three, but they were very tidy with the ball, only 11 turnovers, and they were dominant on the boards. They out-rebounded the Suns 53-37. So the bigs really coming in clutch for the Pelicans, getting those second chance opportunities, those 17 rebounds from Jonas Valanciunas. That was huge. Tony Snell also contributing off the bench with 7 rebounds. And then the tidy ball handling helped as well. So a good win for the Pelicans takes them to 24-36. So they're still in contention there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Western Conference. They are in 12th, just behind the San Antonio Spurs. They're both tied at 24-36. And they're both one game behind the Portland Trailblazers in 10th, and they're both 2.5 games up on the Sacramento Kings in 13th. And the Pelicans are -2.9 in the point differential. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Suns, this loss takes them to 49-11, so they are still in first in the Western Conference, atop the entire league, in fact. They are 6 games up still on the Golden State Warriors in second, and they have a +7.9 point differential, which is best in the NBA. They are 8-2 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pelicans were led, as I mentioned, by C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram. They combined for 60 points. McCollum had 32 on 11 of 18 shooting. He had 2 three-pointers. He was 8 of 11 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And Ingram had 28 points. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line, and he had 5 rebounds and 7 assists. And then they got that big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 18 points and 17 rebounds. He had 1 steal, and he was 7 of 16 from the field. They got 9 points from Jackson Hayes, the other big man, starting alongside Valanciunas. That two-big lineup has actually been surprisingly competent for the Pelicans. Hayes only played 17 minutes, though. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks in that time. And then just 2 points for the rookie Herb Jones. He was ice cold in this game, 0 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block, though. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 11 points from Devontae Graham. He played 26 minutes off the bench. He was 2 of 6 from beyond the arc and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. He had 2 assists, and then they also got 9 points from Tony Snell. Like I said, he had 7 rebounds, 5 points and 4 steals from Najee Marshall, 3 points for Willie Hernan Gomez, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Pelicans. As for the Suns, they were led by Devin Booker, of course. He had 30 points in 37 minutes, although he wasn't quite as efficient, 10 of 24 from the field, just 2 of 8 from beyond the arc, but he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Then they got 20 points from DeAndre Ayton, the big man. He was 9 of 12 from the field in 32 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. They got 15 points from Cameron Johnson, including 3 three-pointers. 12 points for Jay Crowder. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And 8 points for Mikal Bridges in 39 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists. And off the bench for the Suns, they got 8 points from Landry Shamet, including 2 three-pointers, 3 points for Ish Wainwright in just 6 minutes, 2 for Elfrid Payton, 2 for JaVale McGee, and 2 points as well for Torrey Craig, but he had an interesting stat line. In 25 minutes, he was 0 of 6 from the field, so brutal efficiency, but he chipped in with 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So terrible shooting, but really solid production throughout the box score otherwise for Torrey Craig. All right, next up we can move on to Salt Lake City, where the Jazz defeated the Dallas Mavericks, 114-109. The Mavs were led by Luka Doncic, of course. He had 23.7 rebounds and 11 assists, leading the team in all three categories. And then they also got 22 points from Dwight Powell in the starting lineup, and really solid contributions from their recent acquisitions from the Washington Wizards, Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. They both look like revitalized players in Dallas, or playing for Dallas, I should say. Spencer Dinwiddie had 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting, and Bertans had 17 points, including 5 three-pointers. So really good stuff for those two, but unfortunately it was not quite enough for the Mavericks, as they were defeated by the Jazz, who were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 33 points on 11 of 19 shooting, including 7 three-pointers. And then they got a big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 14 points and 17 rebounds, including 3 blocks, and 18 points from Bojan Bogdanović. But this was a really exciting game. Rudy Gobert had a tip-in with like 10 seconds to go that helped the Jazz secure the victory, and it was really close all throughout. Neither team ever held a double-digit lead throughout the entirety of regulation, but the Jazz were just able to pull away at the very end thanks to that tip-in, and they also got a clutch three-pointer from Bojan Bogdanović with 1:29 left on the clock. That one gave them a three-point lead. It was 110-107 after that one, so a really clutch win in the end for the Utah Jazz and a disappointing loss for the Mavericks. But they should not feel too bad because they were right in it until the very end, and they were 47% from the field and 43% from three. So the shooting was not bad at all. And they only had 12 turnovers as well. So it was really not the Mavericks' fault. The Jazz were just too good. They shot 54% from the field, 42% from three. They had 18 turnovers, so some pretty sloppy ball handling, but they totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded the Mavericks 44-30. So with this victory, the Jazz now improved to 37-22. They look much better now that they've got Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell back, unsurprisingly. And they are in fourth right now in the Western Conference, three games back from the Memphis Grizzlies in third, and 2.5 games up on the Mavs now in fifth. And the Jazz are plus 6.8 in the point differential. That is third best in the Western Conference, actually third best in the entire NBA. And they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Mavericks, this loss takes them to 35-25. So like I said, they're still in fifth. They are 2.5 games behind the Jazz and half a game up on the Denver Nuggets in sixth. They are breathing down their neck. The Nuggets are on a 4-game winning streak. But both the Mavericks and the Nuggets are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And the Mavericks have a plus 3.2 point differential, which is in fact fifth best in the conference. All right, so moving on to the box score. And like I said, Luka Doncic led the way for the Mavericks in points, rebounds, and assists. He had 23, 7, and 11, although he was not quite as efficient as you would hope. 8 of 24 from the field. That is pretty disappointing. He did have 3 three-pointers and 1 steal, 4 turnovers. They also got 22 points from Dwight Powell, now the primary starting big man. In 26 minutes, he was 9 of 12 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 1 steal. They got 8 points only from Jalen Brunson. He was pretty quiet in this game, just 4 of 11 from the field, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 9 points for Reggie Bullock. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 assists, 2 steals. And 7 points for Dorian Finney-Smith in 28 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. And off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 20 points from Spencer Dinwiddie in 26 minutes. He was 8 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. I'm really happy for him that he seems to have found his groove coming off the bench here for Dallas. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then they also got 17 points from Davis Bertans, the Latvian. He was 6 of 9 from the field and 5 of 8 from beyond the arc in 19 minutes only. He had 3 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. It would really be surprising if he continued to shoot as badly as he did throughout the beginning of this season. Throughout his career, he's been a very efficient shooter, and it was only a matter of time before he eventually came around. So not necessarily assuming that he's just going to be a knockdown shooter from here on out throughout the rest of the season, but I would not be shocked if that did happen. And then they also got 3 points from Maxi Kleba, although he was not very efficient in this one, 1 of 7 from the field, but he stuffed the stat sheet, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And as for the Jazz, they were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 33 points on a very efficient 11 of 19 shooting. He had 7 three-pointers. He was 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. And he had 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. They also got a double-double from Rudy Gobert, 14 points and 17 rebounds. He was perfect 6 of 6 from the field, and he had 2 assists and 3 blocks. Then they got 18 points from Bojan Bogdanovic, including that clutch 3-pointer late. He was 7 of 15 from the field overall. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. 9 points for Royce O'Neal in 32 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And 15 points for Mike Conley. The point guard was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Off the bench for the Jazz, they got 13 points from Jordan Clarkson. In 22 minutes, he was 5 of 13 from the field. And they got 6 points from Daniel House, 2 points for Hassan Whiteside, the backup big man, and 4 points for Trent Forrest. All right, and finally, we can move on to Los Angeles, where the Lakers were just edged by the Clippers, 105-102. The Clippers were led by Terrence Mann in the starting lineup. He had 19 points and 10 rebounds. And they also got 17 from Reggie Jackson and 18 points off the bench from Luke Kennard. Whereas the Lakers were led by LeBron James, he had 21 points and 11 rebounds, although he was not very efficient, 6 of 18 from the field. And then they got 18 points from Russell Westbrook, but he was also not very efficient, 9 of 21 from the field. And 18 points off the bench from Carmelo Anthony. He had 4 three-pointers, but unfortunately, he missed the potential game-winning 3-pointer at the very end of the game. It was an ill-advised shot, frankly. LeBron James had the ball with the seconds ticking down as the Lakers were trailing, and he gave the ball to Carmelo, who had the hot hand throughout the evening, but with plenty of time left on the clock, he jacks up a deep three-pointer. He's not even that open, and he severely missed it. He was really short, and the Lakers ultimately lost this game as a result. So a disappointing end for the Lakers against their crosstown rivals, and they were actually trailing pretty significantly early on. They were outscored in the second quarter 33-25. They were trailing by double digits at one point in the second quarter. After a three-pointer from Robert Covington with 4:50 to go in the second, the Clippers were up 49-33, but the Lakers showed fantastic resilience, and they fought back at the third quarter. They actually outscored the Clippers 31-15, and in fact, they actually took the lead heading into the fourth quarter, so then it was just back and forth throughout the fourth, but the Clippers ultimately took the lead at the very end of this game. Marcus Morris had a clutch 17-foot pull-up jump shot with 39 seconds to go that gave the Clippers a one-point lead. It was 103-102 after that one. And then a couple of free throws from Reggie Jackson gave the Clippers that three-point advantage, which the Lakers were not able to close after that fateful three-point attempt from Carmelo Anthony. And overall, the Clippers shot much better than the Lakers, frankly. They were 49% from the field and 38% from three, whereas the Lakers were just 41% from the field and 25% from three. The Clippers did turn the ball over 17 times, the Lakers only 12, but that was not nearly enough to overcome the shooting disparity for the Clippers. The Lakers were just not nearly efficient enough, thanks in part to LeBron going 6 of 18 and Westbrook going 9 of 21. So with this loss, the Lakers now fall to 27-32. So they're still down in ninth right now in the Western Conference. They are 2.5 games behind the Clippers now in eighth, and they are 2.5 games up on the Portland Trailblazers in 10th. And the Lakers are -1.5 in the point differential, which is exactly where they about where they should be, I should say. And they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. So it does not look likely at this point that the Lakers are going to rise any further than where they're currently at, which would mean they have to first beat the 10th place team, either the Blazers or the Spurs or the Pelicans, and then beat the Clippers or the Timberwolves to even get in the playoffs at all. So it is a rough outlook at this point for the Lakers. And as for the Clippers, this win takes them to 31-31. So they're just ahead of the Lakers in eighth. But that makes all the difference in the play-in game because they only have to win one of their two games to make the playoffs. They are 2.5 games up, like I said, on the Lakers in ninth and 1.5 games behind the Minnesota Timberwolves in seventh. And the Clippers are -0.8 in the point differential, but they are on a two-game winning streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Clippers were led, as I mentioned, by Terrence Mann in the starting lineup. He had a double-double, 19 points and 10 rebounds. In 36 minutes, he was 9 of 17 from the field, and he had 4 assists and 3 steals. They also got 17 points from Reggie Jackson in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 6 assists. He did also have 5 turnovers. 10 points for Marcus Morris. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. 6 points for the big man, Ivica Zubats. In 18 minutes, he had 7 rebounds. And Nick Batum, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all in 19 minutes. He was 0 of 4 from the field. Off the bench for the Clippers, they got double-digit scoring from all 4 players to see the court. So first, 18 points for Luke Kennard. He has been on fire lately. His hot streak from prior to the All-Star break has continued. He was 6 of 9 from the field in this game, 5 of 8 from 3, and he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then they also got 14 points from Amir Coffey. He was on fire as well, 5 of 9 from the field. He had 1 3, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Then they also got 11 points from the backup big man Isaiah Hartenstein. He was 4 of 8 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 7 rebounds and 6 assists with 2 blocks. And then Robert Covington also stuffing the stat sheet. In 20 minutes, he had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And he was plus 19 in the plus minus, which was by far the team high. Really fantastic production from the bench for the Clippers. And as for the Lakers, they were led by LeBron James, but it wasn't his best game. 21 points on 6 of 18 shooting. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and 6 turnovers. They got 18 points from Russell Westbrook, but he was also not very efficient. 9 of 21 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, and 0 of 2 from the free throw line. And he just had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. At least he didn't have any turnovers. They got a double-double from Dwight Howard, 14 points and 16 rebounds. He had 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 blocks. 6 points for Austin Reeves, the rookie. He was 2 of 4 from the field, and 2 points only for Trevor Ariza. In 18 minutes, he was 1 of 5 from the field. And off the bench for the Lakers, they did at least get some solid contributions from Carmelo Anthony and Talen Horton Tucker. So THT was 6 of 9 from the field for 16 points. He had 2 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. And Carmelo Anthony had 18 points on 7 of 14 shooting. He had 4 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. Although, of course, he missed that three-point attempt at the very end of the game. And then they also got 7 points from Malik Monk. He had 6 assists. And Stanley Johnson saw the court for 14 minutes, but he did not score. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of incredible options to pick from for standout line of the night. So first of all, you had Terrence Mann dropping 19 and 10 on pretty solid efficiency. You had Tyrese Maxey dropping 28 on incredible efficiency, 12 of 16. Terry Rozier had 23 points. Rudy Gobert with a big double-double, 14 and 17. And then there was just a ton of other options. Joel Embiid had 34. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 36. RJ Barrett had 46. James Harden had 27 in his debut. And then you also had huge lines from the Spurs. Keldon Johnson had a really big line. DeJounte Murray had the triple-double, 31, 13, and 14. But ultimately, we had to go with Jakob Poeltl with the huge double-double for the Spurs in double overtime. 28 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 blocks. And he was incredibly efficient, 12 of 15 from the field. Now, as a lumbering big man, he did not have a single three-pointer, and he was only 4 of 8 from the free throw line, but he only had 1 turnover. And the overall production, other than the three-pointers and the steals, was just fantastic for Poeltl. The 19 combined rebounds and assists. He's been putting up a lot of assists this season. And then, of course, the 28 points on 12 of 15 shooting is fantastic. On the season, he's averaging 13 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.7 steals, and 1.8 blocks. That is fantastic production for the Austrian Jakob Poeltl. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Chuma Okeke for the Orlando Magic. He was incredible in this game. He was, frankly, in contention for standout line of the night. He had 26 points on 9 of 13 shooting. He was 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And he had 0 turnovers as well. So really fantastic numbers for Okeke off the bench for the Magic. He is frustratingly tantalizing. He can put up really incredible lines like this every once in a while. He had a double-double a few games ago, and then he'll put up 19 points or 17 points here or there, but he just doesn't get enough consistent looks, consistent playing time to warrant being a really elite fantasy player. He had 7 points and 4 rebounds in their previous game, for instance. He's averaging 24 minutes on the season, and he's averaging about 8.5 points and 4.5 rebounds. So not quite an elite guy in terms of fantasy, but he definitely has the capability of putting up big lines like this every once in a while. So Chuma Okeke is your surprising line of the night, and Jakob Poeltl is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for today, Saturday's February the 26th. And we have 7 games on in the NBA today. Starting off in Detroit, the Pistons are taking on the Boston Celtics. And the Celtics are huge favorites. They are -11.5. In Atlanta, the Hawks are taking on the Toronto Raptors, and the Hawks are -2.5. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers face the Washington Wizards, and the Cavs are -8. In Chicago, the Bulls take on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Bulls are -1. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the San Antonio Spurs, and the Heat are -9. In Milwaukee, the Bucks face the Brooklyn Nets, and the Bucks are big favorites. They are -9.5. And finally, in Denver, the Nuggets are taking on the Sacramento Kings, and the Nuggets are -7.5. All right, so some interesting games here across the NBA today. I'm not really that tempted by any of the bets, frankly, because I think they're all about spot on. There's some teams in tough situations. So, for instance, the Spurs being +9, I would be tempted by that. But they're on the second night of a back-to-back. It was a grueling game last night, and the Heat are obviously the number one team in the Eastern Conference. So, going to stay away from that one. The Bulls -1 versus the Grizzlies, that's a really interesting matchup. The second-place team in the East versus the third-place team in the West. I think the Grizzlies might be the team that I would go with on that one, being +1, but that line is just so small. I don't really have much faith in either team to cruise to an easy victory in this game. I think it will, in fact, be close. So I'm going to stay away from that one as well. I'm also intrigued by the Cavaliers -8 at home versus the Wizards after their long game against the Spurs. But still, that just feels like a little bit too high of a line, considering that the Cavaliers are kind of reeling at the moment. They're on a 3-game losing streak. So ultimately, we've just got one best bet for today, kind of forcing our hand here. We're going to go with one of the big favorites. It was between the Celtics minus 11.5 in Detroit and the Nuggets minus 7.5 at home versus the Kings. And ultimately, I think that's the one we're going to go with just because that line is a little bit lower and the Nuggets have home court advantage. The Kings are not exactly thriving at the moment since the Domantas Sabonis trade. They are on a 3-game losing streak themselves, and they've got a negative 5.2 point differential, which is low-key kind of terrible, whereas the Nuggets in sixth are actually surging. They're on a 4-game winning streak. So we're going to take the Nuggets minus 7.5 at home. It's a pretty big line. It's a little bit bigger than I would like. I'm wondering if maybe it was a mistake and we should, in fact, go with the Celtics minus 11.5. But I'm going to stick with Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He's just playing out of his mind recently. And so we're going to take the Nuggets minus 7.5 at home versus the Kings. And that will be our only best bet for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Sunday, February the 27th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.